A61.
Number 28A.
All right, we save time to tackle the last synonymous term, love, and get an overall feel of love. And I think this synonymous term is one of the most important terms to put right in consciousness, because the temptation is only too big to take the human sense of love, whatever that is, no matter if it's a very high sense of human love, and just to feel, well, love with a capital L is just a little bit bigger than that, and still a little bit higher than that, and so we just extrapolate our human sense of love into the divine sense, which is not allowed to be done. We really must approach each synonymous term with a blank mind and say to ourselves, I don't know anything what that term means. I just have a blank concept about it. That's how I always approach it when I study the synonyms. I don't say, oh, I already know quite a lot about it, and now let's see if I can just polish up here or there a little corner so that it's a bit better. But I always approach it with the sense of the first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, which means blessed are those who don't think they already know everything, but that they accept that they may not know everything, and are willing, therefore, to have an open mind and an open heart to see what the study will reveal. So let's try that too. Let's try not to, I think the best term is to extrapolate our human sense of love into a divine sense, but to start right out from scratch. In prose work, I don't know where now, Mrs. Eddy depicts love as the sum total of deity. And perhaps we can go out from that sum total of deity as a good starting point to establish the quality of synonymous term. That sum total of deity is really the climax of the word order when it comes to love, and it is interesting when one compares it with the 7 days of creation, that seventh day of creation is quite different from the other six, namely that it is not a day of creation. Nothing is being created. Every one of the first 6 days, God said, let there be, and he created something. On the seventh day, there is no creation. Therefore, it shows somehow that the seventh day is a day where we feel that the 6 days that have been building up in consciousness to the point of wholeness, that is something that has ever been, and has ever been at the point of absolute fulfillment and completion. So that we lose here a sense of going up a ladder and find ourselves actually at the point of everything is already complete and perfect. A sense of including now within ourselves the Genesis process as a sense that this is a fulfilled state of things. That's why God is called the Mother in love. We have God, Father, life. And truth is the Son, but love is the Mother. And the Mother is naturally again a biblical symbol and indicates what? Another always indicates including the sum total of the universe, including all that the 6 days of creation have brought forth. It gives a sense of embracing, including, carrying within oneself, bearing within oneself. So, Mrs. Eddy brings out this mother sense in quite various ways. How should we translate that biblical sense? What does it mean that the mother always bears the child within herself? That the mother cannot be a mother except she has a child. Without the child, the mother is no more a mother. Therefore, without its genesis, without its expression, without its manifestation, mother can no more be mother. And in this way, I tried to bring you to the point of seeing, you see, love is that consciousness in being where we can see that being without its manifestation is no more being. That being it will come later on, huh? It's sorry, sometimes this just happens that I don't quite get the term. Let's see. Love, therefore, is that sense in being where we see that being can never be without its expression. Therefore, the moment we consider anything as being not in expression, not being at the point of absolute manifestation, we have lost the sense of love. Can you see that has nothing to do with lovey-dovey, and with loving, Love has to do with that relation, with that intimate relationship of cause and its manifestation. I think one of the best ways that Mrs. Eddy brings it out, that she says, love can never be without the object. It's manifestation or object, See, that's love. When the cause can never be without its object. The moment we have a feeling that something is separate from the cause, we have lost the touch of love. Therefore, can you see why it will handle fear? Fear is that something is not brought back into its principle and therefore not one with its principle. The sense of not coexisting with the principle is a counterfeit of love. Therefore, love is a sense where we see God can never be without its object, can never be without its manifestation. Love never loses sight of loveliness. That's also that intimate relationship, that intimate unity. You have unity in love. Unity of what? Of the idea with its principle and principle with its idea. That's love. That's why you have so often principle love, principle, comma, love. Which means, I don't know if I can express it. Did you hear, as long as I was in mind, spirit, soul, principle, I never had difficulty. But when it comes to life, truth, and love, one can hardly put it into words. It's so simple and deep that one always has to talk around the same terms. Every time you feel there is a problem, every time you feel you have to deal with something and you have a feeling, is this, can this solve? You have already lost the the standpoint of love, because you have separated it from its source. Huh? Therefore, love means that we see that nothing can exist which has not its cause, which is not embedded in its cause, which is not embosomed in its cause. That's the mother. Therefore, love, what does it mean? Love never losing sight of loveliness. What does that mean? That love always sees its object of manifestation. Love always sees that every idea is fulfilled. Huh? The moment we feel that we have to bring forth an idea, we are not yet at the point of mother. We are at the point of spirit. But mother goes a step further and sees that every idea that is going to be born is already at the point of fulfillment. It can never be anything else but already at the point of perfection, of completion, of consummation. Yes? She says, love causes its own ideas to manifest his power. See, she doesn't say love causes to manifest idea. That would be mind. Mind manifests idea. But she shows here that love causes its own idea to manifest what? His power, God's power. That the idea is actually manifesting God. Not that God manifests itself as ideas. That's mind. When it comes to love, you can see that each idea manifests God. Can you see that? No? That's why we don't have a tense of love, you see? You see? That's just the point. Huh? We can't see that every idea manifests God. In mind, God manifests ideas. Mind manifests ideas. In love, love causes every idea to manifest God. Can you see that? If it causes every idea to manifest God, how big is God? Huh? Then you have the absolute fulfillment and perfection and wholeness and holiness of God. Huh? Where you see that every idea manifests the whole of God. That's the point of love. But that, I think, you can understand. Huh? Or do you still shake your head like this? Well, you are allowed. Because, you know, we have to see the scientific sense of love, which has nothing to do with being loving to each other. To be loving to each other is very nice, and it's a nice tone. But this is not love, capital L. Hmm? Love, capital L, is to see that love causes every idea to manifest the whole of God. Then when every idea manifests the whole of God, then we are no more afraid, huh? We have no more a sense of not being fulfilled, of not being perfect. We have then a sense of peace and rest because we see it's complete, it's finished, it's fulfilled. Hmm? So as long as we think mind has to manifest ideas, we still can fear. We still can fear and say, if mind manifests all the ideas, will manifest the right ideas at the right time? Will these ideas be big enough? Will this idea have everything they need to have? The moment we ask this question, you see, we have not yet got that the touch of love. Yeah, she says, love cannot be deprived of its manifestation or object. Love's halo rests on its object, she says. Can you see these few key statements? that all have somehow the same touch, that say, you see, love does not say, I bring forth an idea, but love's halo rests on its object. The object has the halo of God.
Halo.
Halo, sorry. That's wonderful how you understand wrong English. Its halo rests on the object. Means that the object, the idea, has the halo of God. It has the glory of God. Then we have touch love. When we see the idea in its fullness as God's idea. And we have touch love.
If I got it in this proposition that there cannot be a cause without an effect, and there can't be an effect without a cause.
Yes.
Therefore, if you have either a cause or an effect, the opposite must exist of necessity.
Not the opposite, but the counterpart.
The counterpart, that's right. Yeah. They go together.
They go together.
It's impossible to have one without the other.
Yeah. Yes. So that's why you wanted to indicate earlier on, you see, that love is that where cause and effect coexist. And not cause leads to effect. But where there is an interrelationship, both way, cause, effect, effect, cause, as one, therefore where the idea is just as glorious as the principle. Yeah. So that is the sense of principle love. Principle first says there is an intimate relationship between principle and idea. They are one. Love says, how one? How are they one? In which measure are they one? In which quality are they one? And love says that oneness of principle is shown that the idea is as big as its principle. That's love. The idea is as fulfilled as its principle. That's love. The idea is as perfect as its principle. That's love. When the idea is seen as, so to say, wearing the halo of God. And seeing, therefore, because principle and idea is one, seeing that being can never be without its manifestation in its completion. Therefore, if you think that out very, very quietly, these things from life, truth, love on, you have to think out these things very quietly in your quietude of your heart. They can't be talked out. It gets a little bit of smattering of it, and we dilute really the meaning. But here we are, we have to spell it out and perhaps give a sense. But think out quietly what that means. That being is always at the point where every idea is fulfilled. That being can never be without its fulfilled expression, with its fulfilled object. Because that's where we have difficulty. There is where we have all our anxieties. Our anxieties are there where we feel there is a creator, and that creator is good spirit, and that creator is good spirit is certainly creating something very definite and a wonderful identity, soul. And these identities are all governed by one principle. And then usually comes the but. Are we quite sure that they are already expressed in its fulfillment? There comes in the doubt, the fears, the anxieties. That's why love takes away the doubts and the fears and the anxieties, because it tells us, look here, it is as if it would say to us, if love would say to us, look here, you have been reasoning wrongly all the way along. You have been reasoning wrongly. You have been reasoning that there is a cause and that cause can have an effect. That's not true. Cause doesn't exist, effect doesn't exist, it's one. It's existing. Fulfillment is fulfillment. There is nothing that has to be brought into existence through life. There is nothing that has first to pull itself through hell and high water and to bring it and to establish itself in truth. Love says, everything is at the point of fulfilled, of a fulfilled state of things. That's love. See everything, to see that everything must be at the point of a state of completion, at a state of complete consummation. And if we have a process sense in our thinking, we have lost the tone of love. Yeah? The mother is only a mother because it has the child within itself. Mother is not yet the mother as long as there is no child. That's not the mother, that's a woman. Mother means principle and idea being one at the point of absolute fulfillment. So, just think about that. Don't we always feel we have to work out something? I have to work out my life. I have to work out these problems. Don't we have that feeling? Well, it is because we don't know the term love. We think with the help of love we can do it because God is so good to us that he will help us, you know. But that's not God, love, capital L. That's not God, love, capital L. In love, we are not working out things. In love, we have that it can never be without its manifestation, and the halo rests on its object. That's the consciousness we have to entertain in love. That's love's consciousness, huh? Not that consciousness which says, I'm in a pretty bad shape and I'm in a pretty bad situation, but thank God, you know, God is love and he's going to help me out. That's not love. That's the human sense of it. That's the translated sense of love, but not the idea of love. The idea of love doesn't reason that way. The idea of love knows that the halo rests on its object. That principle is never without its object and manifestation. Never. Never without its object. Isn't it terrific? And you can see it's only a question of consciousness, of attitude that we have to take. We don't have to make anything. That's why in the seventh day there is no creative activity in the seventh day. It's just saying, now take it easy. It's a day of rest. And of day of peace, now rest in the consciousness that the idea is fulfilled, that the idea can't help but to be fulfilled because there is unity of principle and idea.